There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live Sport. This is The Grill
with Tom Urquhart.
Exclusively on Dubai Eye 103.8, where we, you, and the world of sport gets to have a say.
Okay, second hour of this show. Time for us to put you in the picture of what's going on in and around the grounds. Let's start down at Etihad, where Jurgen Klopp is spitting blood.
He is spitting blood, and I think rightly so in this, Tom. It is Manchester City 1, Liverpool 0. Liverpool, though, are down to 10 men. Sadio Mane has just been shown a red card. Now, letter of the law says he has to go. It's a dangerous challenge. Common sense, though, he's got his eyes on the ball. He's come together with the goalkeeper, the Manchester City goalkeeper, Ederson. Ederson, I should point out, is in a bad way with this collision. He's got his foot raised, has Sadio Mane. He's only got eyes for the ball, though. The ball's played over the top from Joel Matip. And I've got to say, looking at the replay again, it is dangerous play. He has caught the goalkeeper with the studs down his face. However, it's one of those difficult ones, Tom. Do I think there's malice there? No, I don't. There will be those that say there doesn't need to be malice there. It is raised boot. It's dangerous. He's got to be sent off. John Moss has had a big decision there. I see why he's done it. Letter of the law says he's got to go. I just think in that instance, common sense needs to come into play. There's a coming together of two men. Ederson's rushing out of his box. He's heading it away from just outside. Jurgen Klopp is furious, smiling to begin with. That has been replaced by a snarl, shaking his head, not happy. Ruined the game. It is Manchester City 1, Liverpool 0. And John Moss has now been forced to walk over, I think, just to calm Jurgen Klopp down. He's had one or two things to say to the fourth official. He's not happy. And I think John Moss is just heading on over to explain his decision.
Or brandish another card. We'll wait and
potentially.
See.
Potentially.
It's unfortunate. No, look, we've seen rugby union this year with some high-profile contacts to anywhere near the head. And Sadio Mane is unblinded. There is no malice, but his studs have kicked the Man City goalkeeper in the face. He is still down, prone on the pitch. And the referee only has one decision to make. It's a red card. It's as simple as that by the letter of the law. We've seen it in rugby union this year. The referee has said when you make contact with your feet to the head of the player, it's a red card. There's no disputing it. By letter of the law, the spirit of the game, he is given a red card. So Liverpool with everything to do now. They're down to 10 men. The trail Man City 1-0 with 5 minutes remaining in the first half. His eyes are on the ball, but the keeper has got his head between the ball and the foot. And unfortunately, Mane has connected him. It has looked pretty bad. It has looked violent.
It's looked a lot worse.
And the keeper now has been stretched off the pitch. So let's not give the player the respect that he's due there. But it's tough on Liverpool. It's tough on Klopp. It's tough on Mane.
It's not malice though. And people go, okay, what choice has the keeper got? The keeper's got a choice to not go in with his head.
Yeah, not going with his head.
Just make himself big. Come out with your chest.
Exactly. Rush out from his box. I just think it's very difficult for John Moss to see whether Sadio Mane has got his eyes on the player or the ball. But you can clearly see in the replays he's only thinking of the ball. And yes, okay, awareness. He should be aware that Ederson's coming out of his box. But do I think for one second he's trying to trap the ball, albeit high. Ederson's come out. Unfortunately, he's been clattered. Is it a red card? I question it. I just think what it has done is it's ruined a very, very good game of football.
Video replay? Go. It'll come down. Like that?
You said it, Arch, and I said it as well. Letter of the law. It's dangerous play. It is a red card. He will now have a 3-match ban. They might well look to appeal it, but I don't think so because the letter of the law says dangerous play. You've got to go, and on this occasion, he's gone.
Right, we are. So drama down there and long delays as well. There will be a lot of extra time played at the end of this first half down at the Etihad Stadium. Man City leading Liverpool by 1-0. Liverpool down to 10 men. Still 1-1 over at Real Madrid. They're taking on Levante into the second half there. Keeping an eye on that one for you. Let's turn our attention to all things down under. Before I do that, just one game to let you know about. Salford Red Devils taking on the Huddersfield Giants a little later on this afternoon. That one's kicking off at 4:30 this afternoon in the Super League. A bit of NRL before we do that, let's go to Rugby Union because we've got full time.
Yeah, we didn't bring you the full time score of the Rugby Championship, and it's a result that one team will be particularly happy with, which is the All Blacks, because the Wallabies have drawn with South Africa 23-23. There was a last minute drop goal attempt by the South Africans. It was partially charged down, so the score remains at full time in Perth. Australia 23, South Africa 23. Two tries for the Aussies, Kirtley Beale and Palotta Nau for the Springboks, Jesse Creel and Malcolm Marks. Bernard Foley converted both the tries, kicked three penalties, as did Elton Yankees for the Box. Two conversions, three penalties. So Australia 23, South Africa 23. I guess the winner of the day is the All Blacks, who have beaten Argentina 39 points to 22. They are 3 from 3 in the Rugby Championship, and it's Australia's first points in this year's Rugby Championship. So probably not a great result for either side in Perth.
No, two results to bring you from the NRL Telstra Premiership, because it's playoffs weekend now, isn't it?
Is indeed, yeah, plenty of action going on. Let's start with NRL. It's the finals week one, and over the last couple of days, the teams have been playing elimination football. The Sydney Roosters, they edged the Brisbane Broncos in a thrilling match, 24 points to 22 in a qualifying final at Allianz Stadium. The Melbourne Storm managed to come from behind in their qualifying final win against the Parramatta Eels, 18 points to 16. And the result just completed, Tom, it was the Penrith Panthers have defeated the Manly Seagulls, 22 points to 10. So three results so far in finals week. Wins to the Sydney Roosters, the Melbourne Storm and the Penrith Panthers. Tomorrow, the Cronulla Sharks will take on the North Queensland Cowboys.
Thanks very much indeed. It's also action in the AFL as well. Again, playoff weekend, is it?
Yeah, it is. I'll bring you, there's a live match going underway still at the Adelaide Oval between the Port Adelaide Power taking on the West Coast Eagles. It's a tight match, this. Going into the fourth quarter with 20 minutes remaining, it's the West Coast Eagles with a one-point lead over the Port Adelaide side, 60 points to 59. So it's a tight match there, but there were three big results and big victories this weekend so far in the AFL in the playoff footy. The minor league premier Adelaide Crows are the one game away from their first grand final in 19 years. They defeated the Greater Western Sydney side by 36 points at Adelaide Oval on Thursday night. They defeated them 84 points to 48. Yesterday at the MCG, get this for a crowd for a playoff match, 95,000 plus showed up. They'll turn up for anything, won't they, down in Melbourne. But they saw the Richmond Tigers beat the Geelong Cats with a massive 51-point victory, 91 to 40 in the second qualifying final. A crowd there of 95,000 for a playoff crowd, a massive crowd. Sydney Swans earlier today, they defeated the Essendon Bombers with a big win, 65 points. They won 121 to 56. Buddy Franklin kicked 4 goals for the Swans in that victory. So the Swans will travel to Melbourne to take on Geelong in an elimination final next weekend. And again, the match taking part currently in Adelaide, it's the West Coast Eagles 60 leading the Port Adelaide Power 59.
Let's just get a quick update from the Etihad, where a force substitution undergoing at the moment. Chris McCarty?
Yeah, just not nice pictures beamed out from the Etihad Stadium there. Ederson just been carried off on a stretcher. I think he's got some sort of breathing apparatus on him as well, so he's clearly in a bad way. And whether you agree or disagree that it was a sending off to Sadio Mane in the incident that occurred, of course, it goes without saying that, you know, there is a serious issue there, that the player is injured. We wish him all the very best, and you know, he has now been replaced by Claudio Bravo, the Chilean goalkeeper, who had a tough time of it in his debut season in English football last season. He's now on, but yeah, we wish Ederson very well, and let's hope that that isn't as serious as it looks in the as he leaves the field.
There will be extended extra time at that. In fact, an extra 8 minutes will be added on to this first half because of the injury and the treatment, the on-field treatment too. The goalkeeper on that occasion. So Man City leading Liverpool by 1-0. Keep an eye on that one. Taking a short break. When we come back, we're in conversation with Ravi and the crew from Duplace.
Unbelievable goal!
It's a homecoming. The grill is back at Barasti, the best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Right, we are. Let's get over to... Well, we thought there might have been a goal.
Benji's getting ahead of himself. The ball was in the back of the net for Manchester City. It was Gabriel Jesus with the goal, but it was off. I think it was ruled out for offside or an infringement of some way or another. But listen, the one thing we do know is Manchester City still leads. Sergio Aguero with the goal. A Kevin De Bruyne through ball. Aguero scampered round Simon Mignolet and tucked the ball home. What we also know is that Liverpool are now down to 10 men. Sadio Mane being shown a straight red card for what was dangerous play on the goalkeeper Ederson, who has been stretchered off with facial injuries after a coming together. John Moss, the referee, decided that it was warranted of a red card, and Sadio Mane, who was distraught, I think it's fair to say, as he left the field. Jurgen Klopp was not too best pleased. I'm coming in for dogs abuse for defending Sadio Mane on the text lines, but some things never change. So Liverpool down to 10 men. It's Manchester City 1, Liverpool 0.
We'll also keep an eye on what's happening over in Spain. Can tell you no further goals in that one. Time ticking away, though. If Real Madrid want to take all 3 points. It's currently one apiece, Real Madrid against Levante in the early kickoff in La Liga. We'll give you a heads up of all the big games to look forward to, not just in the Premier League, but in all the other major leagues a little later on. Not, though, before we've introduced our guest this afternoon here to the grill, live from Barasti, where the game is always on. A guest who has been coming and part of our broadcast for the last 10 years now, because he's been a great supporter of our sport broadcast here on Dubai Eye 103.8. It is the co-founder and MD of Duplay Sports Services. Ravi Basari joins us live here from our broadcast position. Ravi, good to see you.
Good to see you guys. I can't believe it's been 10 years. That's crazy. time flies in Dubai, even at Barasti.
Time does fly in Dubai, and just as we introduce Ravi, this happens.
Benji knew it was coming, so he did. It is now officially Manchester City 2, Liverpool 0. Benjamin Mendy, who I think is going to be a really good signing. It is he and Kevin De Bruyne linking up down the left-hand side. It's De Bruyne with a delivery. It's a beautiful cross. He is the best set-piece. He's the best set-piece deliverer, I think, of a football in the Premier League. He delivers it in wide on the left-hand side. There is Gabriel Jesus. He makes no mistake, planting his header firmly past Simon Mignolet. Manchester City 2, Liverpool 0. Liverpool down to 10 men. It's going to be a long afternoon for the Reds from Merseyside. Man City 2, Liverpool 0.
Business started for Duplay back in 2007. They're celebrating a decade in business this year. It's grown to become the UAE's largest adult sports and social club, with how many registered members now?
So officially 100,000 registered members, we can sort of honestly and confidently say, in the last 10 years, which is pretty crazy.
So seriously, I mean, all those years ago, 10 years ago, when you sat down with your partners, with the rest of the team, did you think it would be this big within 10 years?
I don't think it would have been this big within 10 years. We definitely thought that we were keying in on something that was needed in Dubai. You know, people move here from around the world, and I always say, although maybe your kind of professional networks increase as you get older, your sporting networks definitely decrease. So, you know, sample size one, and my business partner and friend Derv, we both moved from Canada. We struggled to meet others to play sports with. So we had a gut feel that we weren't alone. But of course, I don't think we would have thought it would have moved to 100,000 people by the end of 10 years. It's pretty crazy.
Now, Rob, I remember having a chat with you when it was a fledgling company, and we were talking about the great response that you got from residents here, and response in some sports that maybe others might not have been that in the knowledge about, in the know about. Ultimate Frisbee being one of them.
Yeah, that's the one that everyone keeps keying in on and asks, is it a real sport? Of course, it's a real sport. We're with Monica, one of our great sort of staff members earlier today, and she's planning some great things around more competitive Ultimate Frisbee. So real sport.
Does that continue to grow?
It's grown. It kind of, you know, ebbs and flows with kind of the people of Dubai, right? So definitely, you know, it's been one of the smaller sports in the last 10 years, but there's still a very, very strong community of Ultimate Frisbee players. There was the World Ultimate Frisbee Championship not too long ago. There's Beach Ultimate Frisbee that already goes on at JBR and, you know, predates the last couple years as well. But it's a smaller sport, definitely, within sort of the Duplay's kind of product.
If you could put your finger on one thing that has changed in the sporting landscape here in the last 10 years, what would that be?
I don't want to say just CrossFit, but it's not just CrossFit. But I've lost a lot of friends to CrossFit, so that hurts. But no, I think, you know, when we started 10 years ago, even predating Duplay's, there's Dubai Netball League, there's the DSL Dubai Softball League. I think, you know, we were the first, as I mentioned before, to kind of make it more accessible and more discoverable for more people through our website. But probably in the last sort of 5 years, definitely more individual sports providers have kind of come online, as well as other things to do. Right, you have spinning companies, you have high-intensity training companies. You know, every night of the week there's lots of things to do in Dubai when it comes to being active and being social and meeting others. And so definitely there's lots of other great providers out here besides obviously just Duplay's.
You've achieved so much over the 10 years. I think we could be on here all night talking about all the things
you've
done.
I'll stay.
Rav, what about the best thing, though? What are you and your business partners, what are you most proud of? When you look over the 10 years and all that you have achieved, what stands out above all others?
You know what? I think it the same thing that sort of probably, you know, happened within the first couple weeks of Duplay's is that people move here from around the world. I always say your friends become your surrogate family. To have people meet under the auspices or kind of via Duplay's and become friends, meet, you know, people that eventually they'll marry, find better housemates, find better jobs. I think it's that, right? So whether it was 2 weeks into Ultimate Frisbee or Touch Rugby, or even, you know, last week when it comes to action cricket or badminton or football, it's just the fact that people can meet through sport, hopefully through Duplay's, and have a better time in Dubai and feel like this is a place that they could see themselves living for a long time because they've adjusted and connected with like-minded friends and people that they respect and are people that they still, you know, keep in touch with.
Rowie, firstly, congratulations. 10 years is great. I remember meeting you in 2007 with Derv. I think I was up at Dubai Sports City. And you guys were just setting out on your sort of vision, and it was all very new. And trying to find facilities to use, which was always a problem in Dubai, finding fields, finding courts, finding time, finding, you know, dealing with all the commercial issues. So congratulations. It's an amazing achievement. And
thank you.
You know, for making you know, the population more active. And I think all of us and so many people out there listening have taken part in a Duplaize activity, some shape or form, whether it be a corporate event, whether it be like myself playing touch rugby, whether it be one of the charity events that you've supported. So, you know, really well done. And what's been the biggest change from 10 years ago to now? Is the market the same? What's affected from the business perspective of where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know if we ever want to grow up. I mean, that's, I guess, part of the reason of starting Duplaize is to stay young at heart and at least maybe look somewhat young. But actually, you know, one of the things we're really focusing now on, you mentioned, Tom, sort of 100,000 members. We only actually convert about 5,000 people to play sport a week, every week. So what are the other 95,000-odd members waiting for? They're waiting because they just want to find a facility to play pick-up touch rugby, like you said, with their friends, or they want to find a badminton facility, or they want to play action cricket, or they want to meet a group of people on the weekend and just play something informal. So we've really focused on our facility booking platform as well as our app as a way to kind of connect the people that right now we don't really serve. So I think we've always had aspirations when it comes to technology, but really we want to make sure that if we build something around technology, it actually serves a purpose on the ground. And so that's been a big focus for us in the last sort of year or so.
And I guess you've been in the UAE for 10 years, but how, I know you've made, you know, tried to look at opportunities to move into other GCC countries. How's that progression going into, whether it be Saudi Arabia or Qatar or Bahrain? Yeah. What other markets have you identified to take the different products across and get the other, you know, population active?
Good question. So I think, you know, we'll always be Dubai boys, right? And so obviously Duplaize was a play on words for Dubai Plays 10 years ago. Now it sort of stands for Do You Play Sports as we look to kind of expand beyond the UAE. Our biggest focus in the last sort of 18 months has been Saudi. Huge young population, huge Saudi men and women population. And so at the end of this year, actually, we are finally going to build our own purpose-built community sport facility using air-supported dome technology in North Jeddah. And so our strategy for Saudi, unlike, let's say, the UAE, where we rent a lot of facilities, is much more development-led. So in Saudi, we're going to build first, kind of organize second. So really excited about the sort of Saudi projects that we have on the go, and I really think Saudi will be a great opportunity for
Duplaize. Is that the build it and they will come philosophy?
So you know what?
Field of dreams.
No, exactly. But I've added to that. It's not if you build it, they will come, but if you organize it, they will play.
Yes.
So that's my little addition to it. But Saudi is big for us, but Dubai is home. And we're thankful that that we've been able to kind of keep it going 10 years in.
Just interested to sort of pick up on that mantra that you've sort of set out with, that facilitate to play.
Yeah.
And one sort of grumble I hear from sports lovers here is the lack of facilities. Not so much the lack of facilities, the fact they just can't get their foot in the door with facilities. Is that something that, is that still a struggle today? Is that something we've seen become more of a struggle?
Absolutely, and I think that's why, you know, Steph's here kind of offline, but that's what he's really focused on, is the fact that so many people want to play sport, want to rent a pitch, want to pay, but they just don't know how to discover these facilities. And so whether it's hotel facilities, whether it's private facilities, whether it's government facilities, whether it's school facilities, we're trying to kind of create this platform to kind of build this inventory of available facilities and connect sort of supply with demand, supply being facilities, demand being all these people that just want a place to play.
Putting you on the spot then, Rav, there'll be an awful lot of people, like Tom says, and we see it on the text lines, world-class facilities throughout not only Dubai but across the Emirate. One other kind of bugbearer is in some cases the cost. Are you going to be working closely with the stakeholders and bringing it to the consumer where you're going to work on the costs of these facilities, or is that all on the other end and you're simply facilitating the two?
No, I think definitely when it comes to sort of facility owners, they look to Duplaize to take their cues and they look to us to help us find like what is right pricing so people actually want to rent them. So there's no point in having your facilities at 600 dirhams an hour if no one's going to rent them. And so for us, I think one of the cool things, even at the beginning of Duplaize, is we in a sense monetized after school facilities, because up until, you know, maybe 10 years ago, not many of the private schools here were allowing their facilities to be rent, you know, once kids went home. So absolutely, I think it's a two-way street. You know, I understand that many of these facilities have their own costs that they have to cover, but at the same time, you know, players definitely want to play in facilities that are affordable.
You mentioned a little earlier there, 5,000 active a week.
Approximately.
Approximately that.
Yeah.
How many are locals, Emiratis? We often talk about the culture, changing a culture here and getting more Emiratis, certainly young kids, the next generation involved, and hopefully one day they go on to excel in their chosen sport.
Yeah.
Are we seeing that through the 5,000 members?
Absolutely. I mean, we're an inclusive organization, right? So So whether you're Emirati or from India or Canada or Philippines, U.S., wherever, it doesn't really matter. I think, you know, to your question about how many kind of are Emirati, probably about the same proportion that are representative in Dubai, right? The biggest sports that we organize, sadly not Ultimate Frisbee, although we're hoping maybe the shout-out will get more people to try it, is football, right? Seven-a-side and five-a-side football. We do beach volleyball actually down here at Barasti, and that has, you know, quite a large, I would say, Emirati and Arab contingent or kind of community. We do men's basketball, which is popular with like the Levant region, as well as, you know, people from the U.S. and sort of basketball-playing countries. All nationalities play in our leagues, and I think that's the great thing about Duplays.
I don't want to pry too far into the accounts and things like that, because obviously that's very private to you as well, but it's interesting to see a company like yours that has grown substantially over the years. Has that created a lot of interest from would-be investors or people who want to get on board and take that sort of that program or that policy elsewhere, not just in the region but further afield?
I think so. I mean, it's definitely, you know, humbling, flattering, you know, whatever it is, when we have people from Singapore, from Hong Kong, from Australia say, hey, we've heard of Duplays, you know, my sister or my partner or I've passed through and I've heard about this organization that connects people to play sport. We've seen your website, you know, it's pretty slick. So that's nice, right? I think the biggest challenge for scale is we're not just an online platform, right? We actually deliver offline sporting activities. So you have to have good people on the ground to kind of deliver that curated, highly organized experience. So that's the challenge. Again, our focus immediately is going to be on Saudi, with obviously kind of shoring up our operations here and in Dubai and Sharjah. But absolutely, you know, there's lots of potential places where we could scale, but really just depends on finding the right partner. India is one that's come up recently, so we're speaking to some investors in India to see maybe if that's the eventual market we could go to.
What sports have changed, or what's become extremely popular in your time in Dubai? Where is this sort of, when you first came, there was barely any participation, but now what sports have really grown, as it from a community or a participation level in your time, or surprised you the most?
Yeah, I think, you know, women's netball has been great for us, right? And, you know, highly organized women that love their netball, that love kind of that one or two times a week where kind of they separate from their spouses or from their families and get to play the sport they grew up playing. So netball has been big for us. You know, like I said, beach volleyball has been big. Touch rugby, we're restarting softball, which after a two-year hiatus because of the Dubai Canal kind of taking over our beloved Metropolitan Hotel softball fields, we're starting next week. So that's pretty cool, right? So I think for us, you know, next week I'm going to finally dust off my cleats and find my old glove and see if I still have sort of the swing I had 2 years ago. I usually would not get past first or second base, so I'm not a power hitter, but I have a role on our softball team. And so, you know, for me, honestly, there's so many sports that I could list, but the one that I'm most excited about, you know, coming up is softball. But, you know, netball, volleyball, badminton, you know, that's another one where we traditionally didn't organize, but there's a huge demand for people calling our office every day saying, hey, do you organize badminton, or could I find a badminton court that I could rent, which is to your point about kind of linking up with facilities.
Lots of people texting in asking how they can get involved. What do you say to potential Duplayers out there that want to find out more?
Cool. So easiest way is to check out our website, which is duplays.com, duplays.com. And that will then redirect you to all the great activities we have going on in the season. All of our leagues actually start up next week onwards. So if they are keen to try out, please check out our website today. You'll also have a phone number there and some email addresses where you can contact us, and we'll contact you back and hopefully get you involved with some great co-ed mixed as well as single-gender sports that we have going on this season.
I'm going to post all that up there. And then sparing a thought as well for 10 years from now, we'll still be employing the next sort of big thing here, or will you and Derv have retired to the yacht in the Caribbean, Duplays 1 and Duplays 2?
Yeah, I definitely won't be retiring with Derv, that's for sure, so that can be sort of snuffed out right now. But no, we are fortunate to have a great team around us, right? 10 years on, we've grown, we've kind of right-sized, we've shrunk, we've grown. We have great people around Duplays. You know, Duplays is a people business. It sounds cliche, but it's definitely true for us. You know, Derv is still my friend first and business partner second, not on all days. But yeah, I think, you know, Derv said it best a couple years ago. He's like, whatever height he is, he's like, I was never going to play sport professionally, so the second best job in the world is to work in sport. Yeah. So I think we're thankful, as you guys probably are as well, that we're blessed to sort of be in an industry we love.
Still thinks he can play at the top level. That's the problem. You know.
Come join my softball team. We'll see how good you are.
Little birdie just whispered in my ear that you're giving away some free entries if people want to get involved in Duplays for the first time, or just get involved in the sport, particularly down the lakes or the meadows, which is such a great location.
Yeah.
How can someone go about getting involved really quickly through some free entries?
Yeah, I think, again, best thing is still check out our website. website, right, or email us at info@duplays.com, and we'll get in touch with you. Call our office line. Someone friendly will hopefully pick up and help you get back into the sport that you used to play, but you stopped playing because you moved out here and couldn't find other similar like-minded people to play with and to join a team.
So. Before we let you go as well, Ravi, I've got to ask, are you planning a party to celebrate 10 years, or are we going to get an invite to
First,
that party?
Why don't we organize it right after this?
Brilliant.
Right? So, I don't know, Goo Goo Boat probably is available one of these days.
I was just going to say, what happened to the Goo Goo Boat at the Formula One?
That's for another story, but never quite made it there. But we can try again this Formula One.
So the invitations obviously went missing from the Dubai Eye Sports guys.
Yeah. No, the boat sadly never made it due to choppy weather, which was an entirely different stress for us. But you know, that's the nature of business. That's the nature of startups. And you know, every day we hustle. And I think, don't quote me on it, but Jay-Z said it best. He's like, I'd rather hustle 24/7 than slave 9 to 5. So we hustle every day to try to bring sport to people, and you know, Duplays does its role in the community, I think.
There is no better place to leave it, really,
with the
Jay-Z quote. There we go. Listen, Rav, bless you. Thanks so much indeed for popping in. All
Thank
the best for the next 10 years. Congratulations
Thanks,
on the 10-year mark.
Thank
and
you,
yeah, stay in touch. I mean, we're always here for you. You're always there for us, and let's do this thing together.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for your support over the years. It's appreciated.
Big thanks to Rav. Big thanks to all the team at Duplays. If you want to find out more, we're going to post them up onto our social media accounts, onto our Facebook pages and more, so you can get in touch with the team direct. Taking a short break. When we come back, we are going to turn our attention to sport, and more sport.
Unbelievable goal!
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti, the best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Time for us to put you in the picture of some live scores. Let's start with the football, if we can, because the Liverpool team have made a change at half-time. Just coming out for half-time, let's go to Chris McCarty.
Yeah, they have indeed. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has entered the fray, so that will be his debut for the man that cost £35 million on transfer deadline day from Arsenal. He's just getting a little pep talk there from his skipper, Jordan Henderson. Still awaiting to see who he has replaced, but one thing is for certain, he has taken to the field. Interesting as well, he's just got Chamberlain on the back of his shirt, not Oxlade-Chamberlain, so that makes a little change from his Arsenal days. So a new beginning.
Too many words, mate. Too many letters.
Probably too many letters. It's a nightmare for the printing staff. But Oxlade-Chamberlain is on. I'm just looking now at the team. It looks as if they've gone to a back three of Liverpool, and it looks as if they've gone for a 3-4-2 formation. So it'll be Henderson and Wijnaldum. It will then be, and it looks as if he's starting. Where is Oxlade-Chamberlain starting? I think he's starting wide right. He is. He started on that right-hand side. So we'll keep you posted on this one. Chamberlain on. And, well, they've got a mountain to climb, have Liverpool. They're 2-0 down. Sergio Aguero and Gabriel Jesus, and, of course, Liverpool are down to 10 men as well.
Into the last 10 minutes for Real Madrid as well. About 8 minutes left on the clock there. Real Madrid against Levante. It's one apiece at the moment. Real Madrid throwing everything at their opponents, looking to get 3 points at home. Keeping an eye on that one for you. Still at lunch in the cricket. AFL's ongoing as we speak at the moment. Mark Archer's also keeping an eye on that one for us. Playoff weekend.
Yeah, I'll give you an AFL score. It's the final match of the weekend. It's in taking place in Adelaide Oval. It's an elimination playoff final. It's Port Adelaide Power taking on the West Coast Eagles, and it's the home team. The Port Adelaide side lead with only 8 minutes remaining. 10 goals, 13 behind, 73 against 10 goals, 6 behind, 66. So 73-66, the lead for the Power over the West Coast Eagles. Couple results from earlier today. Adelaide Crows, they defeated the Greater Western Sydney side by 36 points. Yesterday at the MCG, the Richmond Tigers thrashed Geelong Cats 91-40. And earlier today, the Sydney Swans booked their place in next weekend's elimination final. They'll have to travel down to Melbourne to take on Geelong. They defeated Essendon Bombers by 65 points, 121-56. So wins in the AFL for the Adelaide Crows, the Richmond Tigers, the Sydney Swans, and it's currently a short lead to the Port Adelaide Power over the West Coast Eagles, 7 minutes remaining.
Lots going on around the world and the world of sport. You're going to be keeping it covered here on The Grill live from Barasti. If you were listening to Sport Tonight on Thursday, you would have heard the boys talking up the brand new 2017 to 2018 NFL season. And it opened with something of a bang and something of a shock in the wee small hours of the morning here. Let us just find out what happened in the opener, which saw the Kansas City Chiefs take on the New England Patriots.
Deion Lewis back to receive. Pyro going off at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, about a 45-minute drive south of Boston. And we are ready to get the season underway. And Santos puts it in the air. at the 1 yard line. This is Dion Lewis. Out past the 20. Lewis takes it to the 27 yard line. Gillisley and Devlin. Devlin is the fullback. Gillisley came over from Buffalo from the 2. And his first carry as a Patriot is a touchdown. But a flag is down. Flag down at the 1 yard line.
Holding. Offense number 77. 10 yard penalty. Repeat first down.
Left tackle Nate Solders to take away the touchdown. Gillisley again carries it this time, and there is an official touchdown. The New England Patriots opening drive, 9 plays, 73 yards. Gostkowski for the extra point. And just like that. And you're going to get a free play here for Brady. And it is caught by Gronkowski for a touchdown. D Ford came across the line. Brady knew he had a free play. All scoring plays are reviewed. Did it hit the ground?
Oh, that one may have.
Yep.
After reviewing the play, the ruling on the field is reversed. The ball hit the ground. It is an incomplete pass.
Good protection for Smith. Fires, caught. It's Demetrius Harris for the touchdown. The Kansas City Chiefs with a huge fourth down stop thanks to Eric Berry. They take the ball and they go 90 yards in 12 plays. And that will put New England out in front by a score of 10-7. Gillisley shoulders his way into the end zone. Behind the fullback, James Devlin. Touchdown, Patriots.
He gets underneath the tackler, and that's a good tackler, too, and Ramiq Wilson.
Smith throwing, caught, and getting into the end zone is Kareem Hunt for the touchdown. So a half that begins with a fumble on his first carry will end with a touchdown for the rookie. Now Kansas City begins this drive from the 25-yard line, and the play clock was all the way down to 1. Smith winds up, goes deep downfield, and getting free is Tyreek Hill to give Kansas City the lead. McCourty got over there too late, 75 yards, and sooner or later, Tyreek Hill, who had those 4 games in a row at the end of last season with touchdowns of 60 or more yards, does it again. Brady, 3 receivers set to the right, looks the other way to the left, then goes deep downfield. There's all kinds of action there and a flag. It's incomplete, but you can see it's going to be a penalty. Brandon Cooks, the intended receiver, and that's Terrence Mitchell that knows he is the guilty man. Second and goal. Gillisley again angles his way into the end zone. Touchdown, and New England has the lead again. And the field goal is good from 32. Gostkowski knocks it through. 9 seconds left in the third. 27-21. Patriots. And Smith, he fires deep, and that's going to be caught on the run by Kareem Hunt. Inside the 20, inside the 10, all the way for a Kansas City touchdown to tie the game. So a guy whose night could not have started worse with a big play here, 78 yards on the pass and run. Out of the gun, a little toss, Hunt tries to get into the end zone close, and they rule it a touchdown. Of course, Duke reviewed, does he cross the plane?
Let's take a look. He's going to extend the ball. Good stiff arm again to give him a chance, and plays over right there.
Mm-hmm. Out of the gun with the empty backfield. Collapsing around him and swallowed up by Justin Houston. So Houston had a big play on the last drive. Big sack here. Well, here's what they don't want to see, and you'll see it in a second. Eric Berry is down on the field. So he's had a tremendous night, one of the best, obviously, in the league. Just signed a long-term rich contract. Here goes the rookie Hunt.
Look out.
And Hunt down the sideline. Kareem Hunt being chased, and he will get forced out of bounds by McCourty, who saves the touchdown. From the 21 now. Hand off to West. Wow. And West breaks free into the end zone. He goes for a touchdown. Sharkandrick West ripping through the New England D. And that's 535 yards tonight against Matt Patricia's defense. Well, that will wrap it up, as the clock will expire for Tom Brady. 16 of 36 for 267 tonight. No touchdowns, no picks. Gronkowski caught only two. Great mutual respect between those guys.
We will get back to that NFL result, something of a surprise result in a few moments' time. Got to bring you some news of a goal, though, first and foremost. Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, this game's dead and buried now. Manchester City threatening to run riot. It's now City 3, Liverpool 0, and it's Gabriel Jesus once again. It's now, what, 10 goals and 14 Premier League starts for the young Brazilian. I've been saying it for an awful long time. He is potential world superstar. He really, really is. He's got the lot, does the young Brazilian. And it is he that has mopped up. It was a through ball from Fernandinho. Once again, the Liverpool defence is cut to shreds. Sergio Aguero runs through, unselfishly just tees it on a plate for his little strike partner. And Gabriel Jesus makes no mistake. Manchester City 3, Liverpool 0. And it's going to be a long 40 minutes or so.
More problems for Real Madrid as well in the final few moments of their game. Their early kickoff in the Liga.
Yeah, we're into injury time between Real Madrid and Levante, but it remains Real Madrid 1, Levante 0. It is 1 apiece. What I can tell you, though, is Real Madrid themselves now are down to 10 men. Marcelo sent off. Are coming together. A little innocuous, truth be told. I watched the replay of this one. It was Marcelo breaking into the box. He had a shot that was well saved. There was a coming together afterwards. It looks as if Marcelo has kicked out, he's lashed out at the defender. The referee has spotted it, he sent him off, and Real Madrid down to 10 men for the closing stages. This will be a damaging draw for Madrid. They drew 1-1 with Valencia before the international break, and it looks as if they're about to start proceedings after the international break with another 1-1 draw at the Bernabeu.
Kansas City Chiefs beat the New England Patriots 42-27 to stun the defending Super Bowl champions in the NFL season opener, as we just heard there. See that one coming?
Absolutely not, no. I think at Foxborough as well, wasn't it? You always fancy the Patriots, you know, with a healthy and fit and healthy Tom Brady. It wasn't to be, though. Good news, though. Let's not get carried away. A couple of years back, the Patriots were awful in their opening few matches, weren't they? There was some talk that Brady was finished, that Bill Belichick was going to go on his way, and of course, we all know what has happened since then. They've won another Super Bowl, 5 in total between Belichick and Brady, so they won't be hitting the panic button. Brady nor Belichick will be doing that, but nevertheless, that is pretty seismic result in the opening week.
Yeah, a couple of big performances for the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Smith, the quarterback, threw 368 yards, and he also threw four touchdown passes. So that's a great performance of him. But look about the stats from the rookie running back, Kareem Hunt. Carrying the ball, 148 yards with one touchdown. He also made 98 yards receiving with two touchdowns. So three touchdowns and over 200 combined yards for Kareem Hunt. Watch for him this season to make a big performance.
Is he in your fantasy team?
I don't think he is, because I had the guy that was injured. I've got two fantasy football. I'm in two fantasy football leagues, and the starting running back I had is injured for Kansas City. So I'd love to pick up Kareem Hunt. I tried to trade for him this week, and the owner wouldn't give him to me. So I'm struggling there. But don't write off, as you say, don't write off Bill Belichick. Don't write off Tom Brady. Quiet evening at the office for him. Didn't throw a touchdown pass. Didn't throw an interception. But only 267 yards passing for Tom Brady. But big win for the Kansas City Chiefs. 42-27. All the regular season action gets underway. Usually Sunday will be super. Obviously, all the NFL action gets underway tomorrow night, Tom.
Indeed it does. Lots to get our head around right here on the grill. We're going to turn our attention back to football very quickly. Why? Because just after 5 o'clock, we're going to be down to Leicester to get the latest on team news ahead of Leicester against Chelsea. That's our 6 o'clock kickoff here live on the show. And then a little later on in proceedings, you'll be able to hear live coverage of Stoke City against Manchester United. Romelu Lukaku, expect him to feature in that Manchester United game a little later on. He's been speaking throughout the week about how he always dreamt of playing for Jose Mourinho.
I wanted to play for him since I was 11. I mean, when you get another chance like that, you know, you don't say no. And I'm really grateful for that second opportunity. I really worked hard for it as well. Now we're back together again and, you know, things are going really well.
So the manager was important in your decision. How important was Paul Pogba? Because you've got that great relationship, not only off the pitch, but you seem to bring out the best in each other on the pitch as well.
Yeah, of course. We're both winners. We want to win as much as we can. And I think we push each other every day, so that's a good thing, you know. We are friends, but we are really competitive. I think we're only winners. You can bring the best out of each other, but it's not only him, but it's everybody. I mean, Marcus Rashford, Jesse Lingard, Chris Smalling, Phil Jones, and many others. We are a lot of winners in the group, and we really want to bring the best out of each other.
Romelu Lukaku there, giving his thoughts on life under Jose Mourinho. And Manchester United flying high in the league at the moment. Stoke City, is that going to prove a problem later on?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult game. I'm not going to rule out the old cliches about the Britannia Stadium and Stoke. But Mark Hughes will have them organised and they'll give it a right good go. To use another two cliches, so I've ditched two in favour of another two. But yeah, I think it will be a difficult game for Manchester United this evening, coming off the back of an international. I know they can't use it as an excuse, but they certainly will, and I think Stoke City will be a very, very, very difficult match for Manchester United this evening. I'd be happy as United fan with a draw. I think if United can come away with that unbeaten start to the season intact, I think that will be a decent result, as I say, just because of the international break and all of the players flying from all over coming in and away from home. I always think you want a home game. You want the home comforts after an international break. So I think it will be a tasty encounter, and I think Stoke will be bang up for it later tonight.
Just want to get your thoughts on another of the stories that's been bubbling away under the radar throughout the week, Chris. Obviously, international week has given club managers the opportunity to reflect on how they did in the transfer window. Since then, we've also had wholesale changes to the transfer window and the way that will be applied in future years. Do you think they're good changes?
Levels the playing field a little bit within the Premier League. I think certainly the smaller teams will be rejoicing, or an awful lot of them will be. I know there was, I think, five teams in total voted against it. I think Swansea, the two Manchester clubs. I think your boys, West Ham, were one of those clubs that weren't in favour of bringing the transfer window forward. But essentially what it means, if you've missed this story, from next season, so next August, the transfer window will close before a ball is kicked. So it will be Thursday, the 9th of August next year. Traditionally, of course, we've seen it close on the final day of August. Now, what it all means is that clubs in England will not, or in the Premier League, I should say, not all across England, they've yet to vote, have the Football League teams, but Premier League clubs will not be allowed to sign anybody after the 9th of August. Now, the key issue to all of this, and this is the one that a lot of fans have got problems with, they'll still be able to sell. Now, and we use the hypothetical situation, what happens, let's say, using Kevin De Bruyne as an example, he's got a release clause in his contract of 50 million, let's say. What happens if a Barcelona comes calling on the 10th of August, they put in the 50 million bid, you can't do anything because it's written in his contract, he heads off to Barcelona, and it leaves Manchester City really up a creek without a paddle. They can't replace Kevin De Bruyne. Now, a lot of people are saying what you might see now is contracts tweak, that you may well have a release clause, but only in the English Premier League window. You have to be sold within that. So it will be, a lot of people are also saying, and again, this is where I tend to lean towards, certainly for the big clubs, is to the detriment of the bigger clubs against their European cohorts. They'll still be able to freshen up things and buy for another 3 weeks. English teams, though, won't. But we've got to watch this space. Like anything, change is sometimes never a good thing, but until we see it in action next August, it's very difficult to see just what effect that it will have across the Premier League.
Let's hear from some of the Premier League managers now who've been talking about the transfer window and the changes to it. See how they felt about these changes.
As the head coach of Manchester United, obviously I am in favour of that.
I'm pleased. We can get down, knuckle down earlier now, and it stops all the speculation while you're in games and running games and playing games. So, yeah, I'm very, very pleased that they've decided and taken that decision.
I think when you're a manager and when you're in the position that you're in with the uncertainty going into a season of signing players, losing players, I don't think that uncertainty is good for your squad. So purely just from my perspective in terms of managing the squad and building a squad, there will be challenges, I think, with the change. I don't think it's going to be plain sailing, but I do think overall it's more healthy for the team.
I am so happy with the decision they have taken in the Premier League. So I think it's real good. in Manchester City, what I know is agree about that. It just both know or both to reflect a little bit for the fact our transfer window in English teams will be closed sooner than in Europe.
But there is another perspective. And the other perspective where I can also include myself, because I am more than just the head coach. I have also to share the problems that the board, the administration, they have.
Let's get a quick update from, so those are the thoughts of some of the Premier League managers on the new transfer window rules and regulations. What's happening in the cricket before
well,
we go to the
news? I can tell you the 500 wicket man Jimmy Anderson has come to fore after lunch. He's picked up 2 wickets in 3 deliveries. Shea Hope has been caught behind by Johnny Bairstow, bowled Anderson for 62, and he's knocked over Bishu, second ball for a duck. So Jimmy Anderson has really driven home now. He's taken 6 wickets in the West Indies second innings, who have now slumped to 160 for 8, which means that they only have a lead over England by 89 runs, 2 wickets remaining. Roach at the crease, 1 not out. Holder on 12 not out. England will be looking to wrap this match up and the series up in the session, Tom.
So not only has he passed 500 in this test, he gets his name on the board as well.
He's back on the board.
Back
on the board again. I think he's taken over 85 wickets at Lords, 86, and this might have been his 87th wicket. So he's done pretty well. There's a happy hunting ground for Jimmy Anderson. But, yeah, 6 wickets in the West Indies second innings. Name on the board. All-time record taker for wickets for England and past the 500 mark.
Let us remind ourselves of some of those Anderson wickets as we take you up to the news at 5.
Test match wicket for England. Oh! Oh, yes! Oh, yeah. And that is that. That's it. I think he's got him. Fantastic. That's it. He's done it. At last, he's found the perfect delivery.
Paul must be LBW. Sachin must be out LBW. James Anderson, you beauty.
Out. Oh, that's out. That's it, out. Oh, has he hit that door? He's out. He's gone. That could be out.
That will do nicely.
That's got to be close. Surely that's got. Up goes the finger. Yes, Jimmy, number 7 for you.
Oh, that's LBW. Sachin leaves a straight ball. A misjudgment from the master. Oh, is that out? That is out. Anderson gets Tendulkar once again.
Bowled him! Marcus North has now gone. And that was the shorter one from Anderson. It was too good a ball. He dragged it off. Oh, now, has he gone? He has! First ball, Ricky Ponting has gone.
Oh! It's out! It's given out. England win. In extraordinary drama. Jimmy Anderson, it's his 100th Test match wicket, and it's one of his very best.
Oh, the forensic example has got another wicket.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes! Wicket number 300 in Test matches. Terrific stuff from Anderson.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.